Hello everyone and welcome to our call today called Awaken Your Abundance. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure having you on the call today. In a few moments from now, I'll be joined by our very special guest, Brandon Bays. But before I introduce Brandon, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first PeopleYouShouldMeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Brandon a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted into the site by you, our listeners. Now, I first came across Brandon's work a few years ago through an organisation in London called Alternatives. Now, over the past 25 years, Alternatives have brought some of the leading speakers in the world on personal development to their audience. And I saw Brandon speak there one evening and was really blown away by just the power of her speaking and also of her story and her own personal transformation. Now, I immediately bought her book, The Journey, and relished it. I read it from cover to cover within a couple of days and grew tremendously from reading it. Last year, we were also very fortunate to have on the People You Should Meet program Kevin Billett, who is also Brandon's life partner and husband and also co-writer of the recent book that they've also released called Consciousness, the New Currency. Now, Brandon is joining us from Sweden today, so it gives me great pleasure to welcome her to the call. How are you doing there, Brandon?
Hello, Damien. I'm so thrilled to be able to share with you in just this way, and I also would like to welcome all the beautiful souls who are connecting in. It's so inspiring. I began to see the questions coming in from various countries, from South Africa, from the U.S., from U.K., Sweden, Belgium, and so it's so beautiful that work on consciousness can sweep the globe in this way. So thank you.
Absolutely. I think we're just in such exciting times with the technology now available to connect us hearts and minds with people all around the world and actually hold a global forum. It's very exciting indeed.
It is.
Great. So I thought I'd actually just kick off by asking or exploring this concept of abundance. Now, I know lots of people have their own definitions of the word abundance, and I was just wondering if you could actually just begin, Brandon, by sharing what abundance means to you.
Well, what abundance means to me is living from an authentic place of truth in freedom as an expression of the full potential of the enlightened awareness that you came in as and co-participating in manifesting abundance in all areas of your life. So living joyfully, happily, fulfilled in all areas. So it's not just abundance of wealth and a material level. It's an abundance in your marriages and your relationships, in your relationships with your children. It's an abundance of being at work and feeling that all of you is being used by grace, by life, that somehow all of that your potential is, your skills, your talent, the grace that you've been given in life is being used to serve life or to serve it at your job. And the same thing in your sports, that somehow you're so wide open in your own radiant potential that you're naturally in the zone, so that if you're skiing, you're swimming, you're playing any sport, that you're naturally all of that potential being used. And so it's living. Abundance to me is living fully fulfilled in every area of our lives. It also means in our health, in the area of health, where we feel that, you know, I'm 56 years old now, and I was just saying at dinner, before I got on the phone call here, that I feel such a vibrancy, it's so much energy, it's so much bliss arising inside myself these days. It's like I just want to make myself available to all of life to be used, and I want to be used by life. And there's such a healthy vibrancy. And so with the journey work and with the abundance work that we do, it clears out whatever blocks or shutdowns or ways that you've been held back or limited yourself or put a lampshade over your abundant potential. It helps you go on a journey inside to really get to the root core of what has put a lid over some aspect of your life and in a very, very real, nitty-gritty, down-to-earth, practical way, clear those silent saboteurs, those lids, those issues, and so that you can reawaken to the infinite potential, the pure potential that you came in as. And so that's my definition of abundance, is clearing anything that might obscure you so that you can be part of the co-creative dance of manifestation in a healthy way, in a conscious way, in every aspect of your life.
Wow, that's absolutely stunning. Now, Brandon, you have been on a phenomenal journey through life. So I was actually fortunate enough to hear in your talk at Alternatives and also through your book. And I guess for people who haven't heard of your own journey to this abundant way of being, I was just wondering if you could actually share some insight into the incredible journey that you've been on for people.
Yeah, the last thing I ever expected to have happen was about 17 years ago. I was 39 years old, and I'm a New Yorker, which many of you can hear from my accent. And I'd moved from there to Malibu, California, which is where we're speaking to you from.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was living my full potential. I had been married for 18 years and was extremely vibrantly healthy. I'd been in the natural health field for all those years, and I was a beautiful family and worked out every day, ate vibrant vegetarian food and organic way of living, and I had a job that I felt passionate and very fulfilled in, which was traveling around the world with Tony Robbins, giving the Living Health Seminar, and I would give an in-depth seminar about how to create vibrant health in your life. So I felt passionate about my life. I felt fulfilled. I felt blessed. And the last thing I ever expected to have happen was to end up being diagnosed with a basketball-sized tumor. And it really was quite a radical healing journey for me, Damien, because you know, there I was living and breathing, doing everything I believed in, and had taken and gotten certified in so many different fields of self. And so the last thing I expected to have happen, because you're always told, oh, well, you got ill because you were stressed out. But I didn't feel I was stressed out. I felt that I was at peak of my life at that point. And so it was really a strong invitation from life, a big wake-up call, to go beyond all that was offered to us at that time in the field of cellular healing and in the field of health. And part of the gift of my own healing journey is I kind of had to throw away everything I thought I knew and go somewhere deeper. And I ended up uncovering a means for all of us, not just myself, but for all of us to go on a radical, life-transforming healing journey where you go on a journey inside yourself and you get access to old repressed cell memories. And one of the things that science knows about the way our body works is that all our cells, they all replicate at varying speeds. So, for instance, if you have, you know, your stomach lining, in 3 days' time, you'll have an all-new stomach lining, you know, or if anyone's ever had a suntan. If you've noticed, in about 3 weeks' time, your tan fades, and that's because literally the skin cells, they replicate in 3 weeks' time. And the eye cells, they just blow me away. They take less than 48 hours to have an all-new eyeball. And what science has found is that when we feel a strong emotion, and this has been found by scientists working out of Washington, D.C., it's been unequivocally established that when you feel a strong emotion and you repress it, it actually releases into our bloodstream a quantifiable biochemistry which will go to certain cell receptors and block them, rendering those cells incapable of communicating with the rest of the cells in the body. And if over time disease is going to happen, it's going to happen where the cells are blocked. And conversely, what science has found is that when we feel our emotions openly and freely, you know, naturally like a child does, our cell receptors remain open. And all the cellular research that had been done, this is, you know, we're talking 17 years ago, all the cellular research that was done at that time they were all pointing to the same thing, is that they found that disease would happen in this area where the cells were blocked. And Dr. Deepak Chopra at that time, now at that time, he was not the guru he's become today. He was a medical doctor working out of Boston Medical Hospital, and he'd done a career study of people who had healed from serious illness without drugs or surgery, and he could find that they only had two qualities in common. One was through some act of grace or spontaneous event. They actually got access to this that he called the infinite intelligence, part of you that makes your heart beat and your eyes shine and your hair grow, this that I call source, which is your own essence, your own soul. And the second thing is that they got access to this that he called the cell memories. And what they did is the patients that did this, and he actually correlated hundreds in what turned out to be thousands of case studies. And what he found is they had these two qualities in common, and that if they got access somehow spontaneously to the cell memory that was stored inside the cell and somehow released it and let it go in some way, then when a new cell was born, it was born devoid of the old consciousness, the old cell memory. And so I'd read the research. I was in that field. But no one had given us a method. And I got to tell you something. You can know all the statistics on the planet. You can understand how cellular healing is possible. You can even know that it's possible. But unless you have a method, it's no more than a pretty idea. And that's where I was when I was 39 years old. And part of the great, huge gift and blessing of my own healing journey was I was guided by that infinite intelligence inside me to go on a direct journey inside my body to uncover what was stored inside that tumor and uncover the cell memory, the consciousness, the old pain that was stored there, and to go through a radical process of releasing, letting go, and forgiveness. And it was through that process that I let go of that consciousness so that when the new cells are born, they were born devoid of that old consciousness. 6.5 weeks later, after being diagnosed there in California, in the hospital, with this basketball-sized tumor, so it was a massive tumor. 6.5 weeks later, I was in Cedars-Sinai Hospital, famous hospital there in L.A., and I was diagnosed to be textbook perfect clean, completely tumor-free, absolutely vibrant. And so that the journey work is work that is not for casual seekers. It's for people who have a sincere desire to get real, to go on a journey inside themselves, to clear old cell memories, old emotional blocks, to really clear whatever's holding you back on any level in life. And so the work was born out of my own direct experience, and subsequent to that time, obviously, the book became an international bestseller, and it's now we give journey seminars in 38 countries, and it's translated in 22 different languages, and it's work that's being used in schools, in medical hospitals, in addiction centers, in prisons, tribal communities, in churches, synagogues, and by people from all walks of life to, in a very universal, neutral way, go on this internal journey where you do this work with yourself. And so it is very powerful work, and it's life-transforming work. And one of the things that, you know, you were asking, you know, how does this lead me to abundance? You know, my own story of healing this tumor is I found that with abundance issues, that you may know that you have an emotional issue that you've been hooked by in some way. It's on automatic pilot, where you know when someone criticizes you that you shut down, or you know that when someone shouts, you cower in fear, or whatever your response is. We're aware, normally, consciously aware, of certain emotional issues that we have in our life. Mm-hmm. What I found with abundance issues is that they are more hidden. Mm-hmm. they act as silent saboteurs. So it's the kind of thing where you could be winning a golf match and you know that you have the potential because you're winning.
Mm.
And then it comes, always comes down to that last putt, where you're putting through and you know it's going to happen, but you can't stop yourself. And just as you putt through, something grabs inside of you.
Mm.
And you blow it. And it's just when our potential is coming out that something shuts us down inside. Or it can be the kind of thing where you psych yourself up and you say, okay, I'm going to ask my boss for a raise. And you know damn well you deserve that raise.
Mm.
And you psych yourself up, you knock on the boss's door, you open the door, you hear the boss's voice, and something inside just crunches. And you end up going back to your desk, eating another muffin, slogging some more coffee back, and you go out that night and moan over a beer with a friend that you didn't have the guts to ask your boss for a raise. Or it can be the kind of thing that you're on a health plan, and you feel great on it. You love actually working out at the gym 3 times a week. You feel phenomenal eating really life-giving, vibrant, foods that cleanse and don't clog the system. And for no reason, you end up stopping going to the gym. You just kind of the whole routine slides away.
Mm-hmm.
The diet falls away. And we don't know why. And so all of us have what I call silent saboteurs stored inside us. And with this new work, what it enables you to do is to get very real and go inside yourself and uncover what is making me shut down when my potential is coming out. What is it that when I get into a relationship with somebody and it's really going beautifully and things are starting to get intimate, why is it? What is it that's stopping me when things start really getting intimate and suddenly we can watch it happening, but we can't stop it and we end up exploding the relationship?
Mm.
It's because we, all of us, have these hidden comfort zones where we hit the wall, where we can have writer's block, and we're writing so amazingly, and for no reason, the next word we write just seems off. And we can't write another word after that.
Mm.
Same thing with painting, music. Every artist, every sports figure will tell you that there's a place of where they hit the wall. Every single one. There's times when they're in the zone, and then they get to a certain level of their potential, and it plateaus out. They can't get beyond it, and it happens in our finances.
Mm.
It happens, really, in every area of our life. And so my invitation to people is not just to get the book. Yes, I want you to be inspired by the book. Other author friends of me have said to me, Brendan, what are you nuts? You give your work away in your books.
Mm.
And I always say, yes, but what about the men in China, the kids in Africa, the people in India? I want everybody to clear out whatever limits you, whatever's shutting you down, whatever's put a lampshade over your life, so that the natural, radiant, enlightened awareness that is your own potential that you came in as, that gets to dance and live your life. And that's what I call abundance,
mm-hmm.
living fulfilled in freedom.
Mm-hmm. So many wonderful things that you mentioned there, Brendan, but I just wanted to pick up on this concept of the wake-up call in your story. Like you mentioned how you had your own wake-up call, and I know many people on the personal development journey have these wake-up calls, and I thought it actually tied in beautifully when you were talking about hitting the wall as well. It's almost like these wake-up calls actually come with some kind of collision, because we want to actually break through and to transcend and return to that natural radiant awareness that we came in as. And I was just, in terms of creating the context, like lots of interesting things are happening in the world in terms of different crises, from financial crises to environmental crises.
Yeah.
Do you actually get a sense that we're facing like a collective kind of wake-up call?
Yes, absolutely, Damien. This is why Kevin and I wrote the book, Consciousness, the New Currency. It's all about what I'm witnessing in all the countries I go to. I travel 44 out of 52 weeks in a year, and we have offices in Europe, in the States, in Australia, and Africa. And wherever I go, it doesn't matter where I go, this huge worldwide wake-up call is happening. And it's like we don't know where the next disaster is going to come from.
Mm.
It can be, you know, if it's not the ecological global warming, then it's the war in Iraq. And if it's not that, then it's the tsunamis happening, maybe earthquakes happening. And if it's not that, then it's the terrorism and the 9/11. And if it's not that, then it's this huge financial crisis. And, you know, they say we're bouncing back, but I got to tell you, what I've been experiencing, Damien, is everywhere I go, there's a lot of media-induced fear consciousness.
Mm.
And what is happening is most people respond to fear by shutting down. They get frozen. They literally get immobilized. They cannot take action. And what's happening is, and it's so hyped up as well, in the past, it used to seem like these huge disasters happened in other countries to other people. These days, there's not one of us who doesn't know someone who hasn't been directly impacted by one of these disasters. And it's like life is giving us a massive wake-up call. It's like we don't know where the boom is going to be lowered from. We just, it's like there's this big hatchet in the sky. It's like, shit, you know, I could lose my job. I could lose my family. Where is it going to come from?
Mm.
And no one gave us a manual. What do you do in the face of fear?
Mm.
And so what happens is most people shut down, hold tight, and really keep their abundance really close to home. And so what's happening, and I'm finding this every country I go into. Now, of course, America and England, right now, of all the countries I go to, have been most powerfully, most strongly affected by the financial crisis going on.
Mm.
And I was recently at a Manifest Abundance retreat, which is an advanced-level retreat I give on this whole area of clearing our hidden comfort zones and our silent saboteurs, and it's a real in-depth go-for-it type of retreat. And I asked a question of everybody at the retreat, and there were many businessmen and women in the room, and I said, you know, we're living in a time of financial crisis, and we don't know where it's going to come from, and things are pretty shaky for a lot of people. And let's imagine that you're working for another company with somebody else, and you have some great ideas, but you know that with ideas for streamlining the company, for growing it, or maybe even going in a new direction, there comes a lot of risk.
Mm.
And you need to take that to the board of directors. And what's coming up for you? How would you feel at a time where you could have great ideas and they could lose your colleagues their job? It could make you lose your job. It could bring the company down. Because it's a risky thing at this particularly volatile time, take those kinds of risks. Or it completely could really streamline the company and flourish it where everyone is boosted by it all.
Mm.
And I asked, how do you feel? And one man was saying, well, I happen to be a business owner, and I can come up with 50 ideas for someone else's company about how they could do that. And he started naming them off, and he said, I'm a successful business owner, and I would have no problem. And he was listing out the ideas, and I said, okay, so now let's take it even closer to home. Imagine that we're living in this volatile time of financial crisis and uncertainty. We don't know where the next hit is coming from, and this time it's not someone else's business. Now it's your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognize that you are going to have to adapt, that maybe people don't want your product, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may have to adapt to the times. You may have to streamline your company. You may have to come with a new innovative way forward. And this man, this successful man, started shaking.
Wow.
And he said to me, I am paralyzed. Absolutely. Because this is exactly what's happening to me right now. And Brandon, I cannot get access to one innovative idea.
Wow.
I'm so paralyzed. If I make the wrong decision, if I put out the wrong idea, that if I make a mistake, I could lose my company. I'm the owner of it. My employees could lose their livelihood. I might not be able to take care of my family. And I am completely immobilized in an inability to take action. and I'm at a place with my company, I have to take some sort of action, and I don't trust myself.
Mm.
And I asked everyone in the room, and there were about 280 people in the room, I said, what's your response? And everybody was nodding their head. And this is what I'm saying. Even the movers and shakers, even the people who are major manifestors, are responding to the fear consciousness by shutting down. And what happens when you do that is you can't access the infinite potential that would give you a conscious guidedness, that would give you the answers, the creative solutions, the innovative ways forward, the inspiration to maybe open up and go a whole new direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the book, Consciousness, the New Currency, and in this workshop that I'm actually going to be giving the day after tomorrow here in Sweden called Wake Up to Abundance, and also in London, I'm going to be giving it in a few weeks' time. It's called Wake Up to Abundance. People are going to be undergoing a very powerful process where we take the lid off our fears and we really get to the root cause of what puts that lid in place, what put those fears in place, and we so radically clear it. If you can open into that pure potential, that infinite field of all possibilities that will allow you to creatively come up with creative ways to move forward. And I'm not talking about just doing what some of the books have tell you, which is sitting around imagining and focusing and seeing it all happening. You know what? You're going to have to play a more active role in manifesting abundance. It's not about sitting around meditating and visualizing things. It's about getting real. It's about opening into the potential and listening to an inner guidedness and letting the truth guide you to create conscious abundance in your life, with your family, in your business, and in your health. And so it's work that is not just about imagining. A lot of books on manifestation right now are telling you it's enough just to, the law of attraction is enough. You know the old book in the 1920s, Think and Grow Rich, you know? This was a book written by a man who said there was a law called the law of attraction, and there is actually scientific proof for it. And that if you really, really focus on something and you really intend for it to happen, that its chances of manifesting are hugely increased. And there is truth to that. And if it were enough just to manifest, to manifest something just by focusing on it, for goodness sakes, all of us when we were kids, how many of us wanted to have that red bicycle? It's like, oh, please, 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 I want to have it. Oh, yes, 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 and focus. No kid could focus more than, kids focus more than anyone on manifesting. And how many of us didn't get that red bike?
Mm.
Because that's not enough. In order to manifest, two things in my book need to happen. You need to get real. You need to go on a journey inside yourself. You need to clear out the silent saboteurs. Whatever's shutting you down, you've got to clear that out. You've got to clear out the hidden comfort zone. And then from there, you need to open into the boundless awareness, the infinite field of all possibilities that is your own essence. This part of the universe that is capable of creating anything. And it's from that infinite potential that you can give rise to a vision. And from that, you can co-create an action plan. Because you need to participate in abundance. You can't just expect, oh, I'll just put it out there and it'll come to me. You have to be willing to be part of the process, to be used by life, to be part of the dance of grace, the dance of manifestation. And so it's both opening into the infinite grace that is your own soul. And it's co-participating and taking conscious action to be part of the dance of manifestation.
Mm, absolutely. Now, one of the things that I really admire about your work, Brandon, and also the journey that you've been on, is how you took something that was seemingly probably the biggest personal challenge that you had to face, and you've turned that into your greatest gift. And I guess for people who are feeling at this particular juncture in time challenged like no other time in their life, can you give some insights into how moving through that could actually, for them, it could actually turn into their greatest gift?
Yes, I can give some insights, because you know what? That tumor was just the beginning for me. Actually, what happened after that tumor was a year later, I was in Malibu, and as you know, they had the big bushfires, the wildfires that happened. Mm. And our house, which we didn't have any insurance on, it burned to the ground. And during that next year, you know, the U.S. government did not provide any disaster relief. So it was declared a national disaster. 280 homes went down in Malibu. And we tried to piece our life together, you know, again. And we moved south of all the disaster area and into, you know, the very beginning where Palisades meets Malibu, into a little two-bedroom apartment, a two-bedroom flat. And we started up our life anew, and we'd written to the U.S. government, and they said though they wouldn't give disaster relief, what they would do is they'd put us on a tax deferment plan so that even though we couldn't get out of paying our taxes, we could at least be allowed to pay our taxes off over time. And we had been advised that by the Red Cross. And we obviously were financially devastated. You know, we watched 20 years of family life get burnt to the ground. And so we wrote to the U.S. government, asked me to put on the tax deferment plan, and we took the money that we had squirreled together, sent to them, and we used that to start our lives up anew. Well, a year later, what happened was, I came back from doing a seminar in Australia and then India, and I came back to our little flat in Malibu, and there was a letter from the tax services saying that because we'd not paid our back taxes, that they had not only taken 100% of our wages, and it was going directly to the U.S. government, but that they'd frozen our bank accounts.
Wow.
So we had our house burned down the year before. 100% of our wages were taken by the U.S. government, and our bank accounts frozen. Now, this is why I'm saying I can relate to wake-up calls.
Mm.
Then I found out 3 days after that my husband of 20 years, who I was deeply in love with, who I felt was the great love of my life, had fallen in love with another woman. And in that next year, he ended up marrying that woman.
Mm.
And in that year, I became estranged from my daughter. And so, basically, I lost everything. Every imaginable fear that any of us are facing right now, from having a life-threatening illness, to my house burning down, to losing my job, which I did during that time, to losing my husband and the love of my life, and my relationship with my daughter, it all fell away. And what happened was, it was a year later, and the divorce had come through. And I was there in this little two-bedroom flat on my own, having lost everything. And the way that I was living, I was doing therapy work, and I had started developing the journey work, and was getting extraordinary results with people. And I'd made an arrangement with my husband that for 2 years, though we'd been married for 20 years, I didn't want to have spousal support for the rest of my life, but for 2 years, I would get spousal support to get me up on my own 2 feet.
Mm.
And I needed that to get my whole life started again, because much of my life was devoted in service to him and also in service to doing the Robbins seminars. And so I needed to really get my own life in order and my own abundance act together.
Mm.
And the most bizarre thing happened is that, you know, here it was, I thought I'd handled all these various, quote, disasters, all these wake-up calls. And I thought, God, you know, I've done a really good job. I've come through it all. I'm pretty, you know, I survived, right? And here's what happened. I was in my living room, and out of nowhere, started getting these waves of panic coming through. Mm. And I've never been a very panicky person. I've been pretty self-reliant and, I don't know, pretty brave, if you want to put it in one way. Fear has not been a very big thing in my life. And it was such heart-ripping, choking fear. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I did what most of us would do with it. These waves of panic were coming through, and I completely flew myself into action. And so I started making lots more appointments with therapies and, you know, going shopping, getting on the phone, and cleaning the house, you know, just keeping myself in motion. And I didn't realize this. But I had fear of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the run. I was trying to get away, and you can't run from fear. Do you know what? If you try to run from fear, it's going to hunt you down. And really, the only option with fear is to open and offer yourself into the tiger's mouth of fear.
Mm.
And so what happened is these, what I would call panic attacks, started coming. And it was the third day that I'd had panic attacks coming, and I was in the living room, and I was vacuuming the carpet in front of my couch. And I looked down at that piece of carpet, and I thought, you know what? I vacuumed this yesterday. You know, this rug is absolutely clean, you know. And I said, Brandon, you're in one big avoidance strategy here.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the run. And I said, you've got to just stop. You've got to just stop and meet this fear and find out what the hell is this all about. And I sat down on the couch and I closed my eyes. And I said, Brandon, what is it you're so afraid of? And the simple sentence, I'm afraid that my spousal support check isn't going to come in at the end of the month. And I'm not going to have enough money to pay the rent. And I thought, surely a fear that simple couldn't be causing panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it must be deeper than this. And so I sat down, and I wrote at the top of the page, okay, let's get real. Let's welcome up all the fear. I said, what's the worst that could happen? Okay, the worst that could happen is, because I was welcoming my fears, is a check doesn't come in. And I said, okay, so if that doesn't happen, then what would happen? Well, if that doesn't happen, then at the end of the month, you'll be able to get by for one more month, but you're going to be thrown out of this apartment. And when I saw myself being thrown out because I wouldn't have the money to pay the landlord, just waves of panic and shame came. And I thought, okay, what's deeper than that then? If that happened, then what would happen? Well, I'd have to go live with a friend, or I'd have to live with my mother. And I thought, just no way, that ain't going to happen. There's just no way at the age, at this point of 41 years old, that I'm going to become a parasite to my mother. And I thought, I'd have to go live with a friend. And I'd always vowed to myself that I would never, ever have to ask my friends for that kind of help. And again, this desperate feeling of humiliation. And when I opened into that and asked, okay, what's deeper than this? If that happened, that I had to go stay with my friends, what's the worst that could happen? And the truth is that, you know how in America we have that expression, you wear out your welcome.
Right.
And I knew that after a couple of weeks that I would have to move on. And I said, okay, if that happened, then what would happen? And I fell into this deep, dark, hopeless despair. And I saw myself in my hometown, New York City. And I was a street person. And I was there having, with all my degrees, all my education, all my certifications in all the various fields, and there I was on the streets of New York begging as a street person. And when I opened with that, I realized that what my core fear was that I did not have what it took inside me to survive. That other people seemed to have what it took to survive, but it didn't matter how many certifications, how many skills, how many degrees I had, that at the age of 41, buried deep inside of me, and I didn't even know about this fear, it was a fear that I did not have what it took to survive. Well, when I opened and let go into the sphere, I fell in a ravaging despair. And I asked, okay, what if it happened? I was a street person in New York. What's really at the bottom of this? And I thought, well, I would die. And as I opened into what that would be like, it began to feel like something was being pulled apart.
Mm.
And that something on some level of being was dying. And when I said, okay, if that happened, I died, then what would happen? And I ended up opening into this huge, radiant light, into this huge love. And there was this realization that though the body can fall away, there is this infinite field of all possibilities, this grace, this potential that is capable of creating anything, and that that is, in fact, who I really am and who we all are. And so I looked at the whole list, the layers of that I had gone down through, and I circled my worst fear, which was that fear that I simply did not have what it took to survive. And I made a vow that I would do a journey process and really get to the root cause of that and finish with that. And then I wrote at the top of another page, okay, let's say I do clear that worst fear and really get to the bottom of it and finish with it, with the journey work, what's the best that could happen? And I wrote that at the top of the page, and I said, okay, what is the best that could happen? Well, the best that could happen is I get real and realize that this check isn't coming in, and in fact, it didn't. And that tomorrow I go down to the meditation center and I find a roommate, and that way that person can stay in the other room in the house, and at least that would cut our bills in half. And I said, okay, well, if that happened, then what else is the best that could happen? Well, if that happened, that would buy me some breathing space. And I would somehow have to find the courage to call my friends and let them know that this journey, which was born from my own healing experience, from healing from a tumor without drugs or surgery, that I feel that it is work that the world is ready for. And to really offer to my friends to give journey workshops in their homes and, you know, and split the fees with them. And I said, well, okay, if that happened, that I finally found the courage to share this work that I really do feel is my destiny in life, that I feel is my calling. Well, if that happened, then loads of people would start experiencing cellular healing and awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if that happened, then what would happen? What's the best that could happen? Well, the best that could happen, then will there be larger and larger seminars and more people around the world would experience both cellular healing and awakening and have these transformative tools. And I said, well, if that happened, then what would happen? Well, eventually a book would get written. Okay, well, if that happened, then what would happen? Well, that would mean that millions of people would have access to these powerful, life-transforming tools. And if that happened, then what would happen? Well, then eventually whole nations would be able to use this work in an everyday way to clear whatever holds them back, whatever blocks them, so they could open into their own infinite potential. And maybe together we could be part of a wave of awakening and healing sweeping our planet and facilitate real healing in our world. And as I looked at that list, I thought, does this really give me the leverage I need to face and clear that old core fear that I didn't have what it took to survive? And the resounding words, yes, came up for me. And I did do that process, and guess what? Everything on that list ended up coming true, from me giving more and more seminars to finally the book getting out and becoming an international bestseller, and now that we give the work in 38 countries and it's translated in 22 different languages and over a million copies have sold worldwide, and more importantly than that, it's now being used in schools and in governmental ministries, and it's being used in hospitals and in tribal communities and by people from all walks of life to really clear whatever might obscure them on any level of being, to clear the blocks and the saboteurs so that everyone can open into their own radiant potential and begin living the greatness
that is all of our possible destiny.
Wow.
So that one process really did eventually is the whole reason that we're speaking on this phone together.
Wow.
It's what allowed the journey journey seminars to take off and for the work to become available worldwide.
Wow. Well, Brandon, that's such a powerful sharing, and it's amazing how a single moment in time can actually catalyze such radical transformation, not only in your own life, but certainly in the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of people all around the world. That's stunning.
It never ceases to amaze me. I just think that we're in this time where people are ready to co-participate in both healing and awakening, and to really harness our greatness and live our potential.
Absolutely. Now, Brandon, I mentioned earlier on that we've had questions come in from all around the world, so I thought I would actually just ask a couple of questions now. And I'm going to kick off with Nora, who is in the United Kingdom. And Nora asks, "Dear Brandon, I loved your book, such an inspirational story. My question is how to think positively about money, more precisely about the lack of money. I'm in huge debt, and although I've been managing with my payments, all I can think about is the things I cannot afford anymore, checking my bank account every day just to make sure that I won't overspend, etc. I know I should pretend that I have plenty and not to say or think that I cannot afford this or that, but it's so difficult to do that on a tight budget. Do you have any recommendations what to do or how to get out of this vicious mind circle? Thank you."
Well, it does sound like a vicious mind circle, and what the journey work is really powerful with is really getting to the root cause of what is putting that experience of lack in place. And so what I recommend for you, Laura, is find someone to do the journey process with. You've got the book. Find a friend and do it with them, or if not them, get a practitioner, or if you can get to a journey intensive or a Wake Up to Abundance retreat, do the work and get to the root of this whole lack consciousness that is causing you to feel unhappy, uncertain with your finances. And when you clear that, what that will do is it will open you into your own pure potential. And out of that potential will come very clear, guided inspiration. And it will guide you as to how to be part of the co-creative process of creating financial abundance in your life again. And what happens is when we feel that lack, we tend to create what we focus on. And when you clear that consciousness, it opens you to getting very creative so that you can begin, you know, creating finances in your sleep. And what I mean by that is very often we think we only make as much as our current job allows us, and we never stop to open up and say, okay, what are some other creative ways that I can begin drawing funds into my life? For instance, if you love IT or you love music or dancing or you love cooking, well, that's something you could be, you know, taking a couple hours on a weekend or three or four and training someone in that or teaching it. Or, you know, if it's cooking that you love, maybe doing theme parties for people. And what I'm saying is that what happens is we get tramlined. We get very narrow in what we think we're capable of manifesting. And we just think it's only going to come from that one place. But when you clear that whole fear, what happens is you open up to very creative ways of manifesting abundance. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what will happen when you finally open up to the greatness and let it guide you to really creative solutions.
Excellent answer. And a great question, Nora. Good luck with doing some journey work on that. Now, this question actually comes from Inga, who is in Kenya. And hello to all our listeners over in Kenya. And Inga asks, "Dear Brandon, thank you for your contribution to the universe. My question is, I have experienced a lot of transformation. However, there are things where the belief changes just don't seem to have an effect. Does this mean that I have not reached the peel of the onion? Or what can I do to have transformation at the very core?"
Yeah, I've often noticed this, that it's often not enough to just clear beliefs changes. I experience beliefs as sort of being the lily pads that float on the surface. And they're actually connected to a root system, to the real root of what's driving these surface beliefs. And so in trying to change, like using NLP, to just change beliefs, it'll work to a certain degree, but you haven't gotten to the root of what has put those beliefs in place. And with the journey process work, both in the Journey book and in the Freedom Is book and in the Consciousness, the New Currency book, it gives you powerful work to go through different layers and open into your own radiant potential and from there turn the flashlight on and really clear the root cause of what has put those surface beliefs in place. Constantly people who've told me that they've done dozens of other seminars, lots of work in their life, that they've been on a spiritual path for, you know, however umpteen years, they'll share with me it wasn't until they did the journey that they really finished with an issue, that they had been sort of playing with it on the surface, and that with the journey, it really is about, in a very nitty-gritty way, uprooting it and completely finishing with it and opening into a pure, unobscured potential. So I once again recommend you do the process work, especially as you've read the work, and it's an invitation. It's an invitation to all of us to roll up our sleeves and not just talk about these possibilities. But what my prayer is that from this entire recording, this interview, that you will use this as a wake-up call to begin your journey, that you'll not just talk about it, read about it, but that you will take action to really be part of this wave of awakening and healing sweeping our planet, and take action to clear the silent saboteurs, the hidden comfort zone, the damaging beliefs, and the old cell memories that have in any way held you back from really living in total fulfillment as the enlightened awareness that you came in as. And so that's what my prayer is for this interview, is that you let it catalyze you. Find your way to a journey event. Find your way to get on the website. And there's seminars happening all over around the world. And if you're in London or anywhere near London, although I just did one in Stockholm, and we were joined by people from all over Europe and further afield, come to the London Wake Up to Abundance. And there we're going to be working on clearing and getting to the bottom of our very worst fear and finishing with it and opening up into this fulfilling joy that is your own self, coming home and beginning living from that authentic truth of who you are.
Mm. Now, Brandon, I absolutely love the expression of the flashlight. I think lots of personal development is tinkering around at that surface level, but to have the time and the space to actually look under the bonnet and bring out the flashlight and look what's there to be released to enable people to really step into their full divine potential is a tremendous gift. And for people that are in London or would like to travel to London, the Wake Up to Abundance workshop is actually going on. It's in Earls Court Conference Centre, and it's on the 22nd of May. I was just wondering, Brandon, who is this workshop specifically created for?
It's created for anyone who's alive. If you're living and breathing, this workshop is for you. It's for people who don't want to just dance on the surface. It's for people who want to get real. Roll up your sleeves, get in there, and do the work. It is a very dynamic workshop where you're getting process work, meditations, and very in-depth journey process that I have specifically designed that is to get to these really core fears that are limiting us from manifesting abundance. And it's not just from manifesting financial abundance. It's about manifesting abundance in your relationship. It's about having fulfilling relationships, having accessing your creativity. It's about creating vibrant health. It's abundance on all levels of being. And so it's an invitation for anyone who really wants to start living in fulfillment in their lives.
And for people that have already had the benefit of experiencing journey workshops before, will they uncover some new realizations with their relationship with abundance by coming along?
No doubt. This is the first time that I'm giving this particular workshop here in London, and I've just recently given it in Sweden. And what the practitioners who were supporting it, and at this particular event, we are only inviting the practitioners who have gone through a year-long training, have taken 8 different courses, have completed 45 case studies. So the people who are really immersed in the work and have an in-depth love of truth and service to humanity, they're going to be serving as trainers at this event. And they create a beautiful cradle so that we can have this extremely powerful and very deep seminar, and so that you can really liberate the lids you've been putting over your abundance in life. And so it's an all-new process that I've created specifically and uniquely for this seminar. And so people that have done advanced journey work will find themselves in a very powerful fire. And as a matter of fact, some of the practitioners were saying, for some of them, it was the most powerful process they've ever gone through.
Wow.
So it's an exciting day. It's a very liberating day. And if you're thinking you're just coming to a lecture, this is not for you. This is for someone who really wants to get in there and do the work and really experience joy and fulfillment by coming home to their own divine potential, as you call it.
Beautiful. And for people that are curious about other journey workshops that are carried out around the world, I was just wondering if you could share some insights on how people all over the world can actually participate in workshops or journey programs.
Well, what happens is we have, besides the Journey website, and it's just www.thejourney.com, and besides having that, and it gives you the list of programs happening all around the world, there's no doubt that there is likely to be a journey intensive happening near you, presented by a presenter or perhaps even presented by myself. And it's happening in 38 countries this year, so there's a chance for you to get in and dive in and do the work. And also, there's journey practitioners around the world who can do some in-depth work with you on a one-to-one basis. And so there's a lot of programs that you can get into very easily by getting on thejourney.com. But additionally to that, we have offices with local phone numbers in Europe, in the States, in Australia, and in Africa. And in addition to the UK number, we have offices in Holland, Sweden, and in Germany. So we kind of have satellite offices there. So we have quite a lot of different offices around the world, a huge web of support for you to get into the work. And it really is an invitation for you to go ahead and just go for it.
That's one of the things I absolutely love about what you've created, Brandon. It's just a real global community of people that are committed to personal transformation and also transformation of planetary consciousness. It's really
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah, that is my prayer.
And for people who were looking to go to the London workshop, you can actually book your place online on the Wake Up to Abundance page. Excellent. Now, Brandon, I just really wanted to take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly for sharing your time with us. I think it's quite extraordinary for any human being to look at their greatest fears and rather than run from them to actually embrace them and to go deeply into them. And the fact that on the other side of that process for yourself, you've emerged and you've decided to take your realization and the gifts that you received and share them so freely with people all around the world is really a phenomenal human achievement. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to really acknowledge and recognize the incredible contribution you make to the world. A much better place because
thank you very, very much. And I pray for everyone that they'll just use it to liberate themselves. I feel like the work isn't from me, that it just came through so that people could use it to find true liberation in their lives.
Beautiful. And for anyone sitting at home who is contemplating abundance and opening more fully to their divine potential, I was just wondering if you had any final closing words for them, Brandon.
just that you are capable of anything, and that life is longing to use you to be part of the co-creative dance of manifestation, and that when you take your own lampshade off and take your lids off and truly open into this divine potential, there is a wordless guidance that will flow you into motion and guide you to manifest what is your destiny, and is beyond your wildest imagination. And so your own greatness is calling you. And so what I say is, welcome home. It's time to come home to your own greatness.
Beautiful. Very inspiring words to finish on. Now, for people listening to this recording or this interview, it will be made available for free, so you can listen to it again and again and again on the People You Should Meet website. Now, one of the things that we do invite everyone to do is actually to take a step forward and actually share this material and this powerful teaching with the world. It's from these small steps that each and every single one of us have the opportunity to take to share things that are empowering and inspiring with the world. It does make a huge difference in the world, so I encourage each and every one of you to share freely this material. Now, on the People You Should Meet website, we've also just added some very powerful sharing technologies, integrating Facebook and Twitter and lots of other social bookmarking technologies. So sharing this material has become as easy as just clicking a button and sharing it through your own personal communities and networks. Excellent. So Brandon, in closing, I really just wanted to ask about your own journey and where you see your own journey unfolding into.
Do you know, for myself, I just feel I have one prayer, really. Use me. And I'm just open to let life use me to serve the awakening and healing on this planet. And however that happens, each moment of being allowed to fulfill that is a blessing for me. And so I feel grace beyond all measure. And so where life will take me, I have no idea, but it's been very beautiful to see and be part of the wave of awakening and healing that this world is experiencing right now. We're living in quite magical and exciting times. And so I pray that everyone else will join me in just letting life use us to serve.
Beautiful words, and definitely the ethos of the People You Should Meet program. Cool. Thank you so much, Brandon, and thank you everyone at home for your continued participation in this program. It's our coming together on a regular basis that really does provide and put out into the world a really powerful transformational energy, and I just thank you and honour everyone for being a part of this magical process. Cool, and thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.